Again, I'm thankful for each of you making the effort to come this day and to hear the word of the Lord taught, preached. I know our brother is suffering with a little bit of a head cold like several others of us, and I'm sure he'd appreciate your prayers, but I can see all the stuff he has here before us and know that he has a message for us this day, and so you might offer a prayer in his behalf, but probably offer one in your own behalf as well, that you might get the message that the Lord is bringing to us this day. And so I give you our brother and elder, Jim Yates.
Thank you, Andy. Good morning to each and every one of you. It's good to see you all here. I feel like I must apologize for no tie, but my cough and my throat would not handle anything tied around my up this morning. It threw me into a horrible coughing fit, but I'm happy to be here, and in some ways this what I went through this morning has to do with my sermon as well, so I might as well bear my testimony about it. And as a lead-in for my sermon, I'm very quick to use medicine. Being a nurse and a medic, I know what chemicals are out there. I know what chemicals help me. I know how to use them correctly. And I'm not afraid to reach quickly for a cough drop, cough syrup, cold medicine. And I'm not afraid to mix them, as long as they're not the same medicine, even though they're different brands. And so this morning, I got up early and I prepared for my sermon and everything was fine. I still had a little bit of a head cold. Took a shower, and you might as well just open up the faucet. I started coughing and my nose started running, and the steam just broke everything loose. So I took some cough syrup, and an hour later, I was still having the same problem. I took another type of cough syrup, used several different types of cough drops, and it wasn't until probably about 15 minutes before church was supposed to start that it finally dawned on me. I did everything that I can do, but I hadn't prayed about it. And I was still coughing every time I did this. And I was coughing coming over here. But I feel as though that maybe the Lord has blessed me, because I don't have that tickle, that urge to stand here and cough my head off. So we'll see how this sermon goes today. I was very much touched by Adam's sermon last Sunday about resolutions. And so I was thinking about that and several of the scriptures that one of my New Year's resolutions, which I don't make, have to do with my weight or health, has been to pray more and to try to read the scriptures more often. And not just read, but try to study more often to become more acquainted to the scriptures. And several of the scriptures I'm going to use today fell in line with the train of thought that Adam started in my head. And so I would like to start this morning with in Alma, the 16th chapter, on page 409, starting at the 7th verse. Alma 16, 7th verse. But it came to pass that in the latter day end of the 70th year, there came a man into the land of Zarahemla, and he was Antichrist. For he began to preach unto the people against the prophecies which had been spoken by the prophets concerning the coming of Christ. Now there is no law against a man's belief, for it was strictly contrary to the commandments of God, there should be a law which should bring men on an unequal ground. You know, it is not unlawful. It's not expedient. But God did not make a law that says you have to believe. I'd like to keep your finger there and turn over with me into 2 Nephi on page 86. Second Nephi, the first chapter, starting with the 115th verse. Now Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. Because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good and evil. To act for themselves, and not to be acted upon, save it was by the punishment of the law at that great and last day, according to the commandments which God has given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh in all things, and are given them that they are expedient unto men. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediation of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and the power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my sons, I would that you should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments and be faithful unto his word and choose eternal life according to the will of the Holy Ghost and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and of the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captive, to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. And I have spoken these few words unto you, my son, in these last days of my probation. Lehi knew that he was coming to the end of his race. He knew that this was the end of his probation, and he was talking to his sons, and he was telling them and giving them the opportunity to choose. Each and every one of us has the right to choose. It's a word that people don't like much today, choice, to choose. But God gave us that right. For those of you who are not baptized, God has given you the choice to either accept his commandments and be baptized or to reject them. It is your choice to choose. And Lehi was giving his sons the choice to choose, the warning from the watchman on the wall. And I have none other object save it be the everlasting welfare of your souls. Everybody in this room should have an everlasting desire for the welfare of everybody's souls. We have the right to choose. So now flip back over into Alma again. Verse 8. Now there is no law against a man's belief, for it was strictly contrary to the commandments of God that there should be a law which should bring men to unequal ground. Do you know, Sam, that if you or God told you had to do something, he would put you on equal ground? But he doesn't want that for any of us. He does not want any of us on unequal ground. He wants us all on the same level playing field. He loves each and every one of us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to be our mediator,
come and stand before men to beg them to come unto his Father. But it is our right to choose. For thus saith the Scriptures, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. And now if a man desires to serve God, it was his privilege. Or rather, if he believed in God, it was his privilege to serve him. But if he did not believe in him, there was no law to punish him. Man cannot make a law to tell you that you have to believe in God. Man cannot create a law to tell you that you have to believe in anything. There are religions that have those laws that if you don't believe, you're put to death. And there are those in our history in Christianity that used that. But it was not the law of God. The law of God is you have the right to choose. It is the law of God to have you desire to be with him. To want to be there. But man can make laws for sins. But if he murdered, he was punished unto death. And if he robbed, he was punished. And if he stole, he was also punished. If he committed adultery, he was punished. Yea, for all this wickedness, they that were punished, for there was a law that was that men should be judged according to their crimes. Nevertheless, there was no law against a man's belief. Wherefore, a man was punished only for the crimes which he had done. Wherefore, all men were on equal ground. We're all on equal ground before God. We all start out at the same place. Not all of us end in the same place. But God made sure that we were all on equal footing before him. I'd like to turn over into Joshua. Since we're on the subject of choice and choose, you probably know where I'm going. Chapter 24 of Joshua. Starting with the 14th verse. Joshua is talking to the children of Israel. Moses also did the same thing. It seems that we need to be reminded frequently of these facts. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which thy father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Part of our service and in our choice, we have to choose. This is why we're on even ground. We get to choose because if we choose, we're willing. We're not being begrudging. We're coming willingly. Christ said, come unto me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. He's beckoning us. He's asking us to do something. He's given us a choice to either get up and come to him or to stay where we are or to go a different direction. And I can tell you that there are times when I'm trying to make a decision, I wish he would just thump me on the head and say, Jim, you need to go this way. Instead of allowing me to look at the scriptures because I want it made easy for me. Just like when I was a child, that my parents made decisions for me. I want God to make that decision for me. Turn me here, put me there, make me do this. But it's not always that way. We have the right to choose. We have a right to follow. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. And we have the same thing that we read in the Book of Mormon. We can either choose to follow God or choose to follow the adversary. We're going to make either one of them our king and our ruler. And where I'm heading with this is there's a fear that I have. A fear for me personally, and I have a fear for the Church of Christ in the future. And I'm going to get to that fear. And I'm trying to lay the groundwork for that fear that I have. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land we dwell. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. That is the thing that I understand to me what Adam was saying. Each and every day, we should get up and make the resolution to serve. Either one. But it's a daily choice that we must stand and choose whom we're going to serve. Not always an easy choice, but it's still a choice. Who are we going to serve? How are we going to serve? Turn over into Revelation. And I've read the letters that John was told to write to the churches. And this is my fear. Fear for me personally, fear for the church as we come, as we're made to choose between God's word and to be tolerant of sin. Where we're put in a position where we have to choose between calling good evil and evil good. Because our friends wanted us to, or if society wants us to, we don't get to choose what is evil. God chose what was evil. We get to choose if we want to accept His word and to keep His word. So as I read in Revelation, the third chapter, about the church of Laodicea, I am concerned. I'm concerned about how the world has eked into my life and how the world has eked into the Church of Christ. And where are we heading? And I'm not sure yet where we're heading. But this warning in the church of to the Laodiceans in the 14th and the third chapter of Revelation, starting with the 14th verse, we read this: "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." We know exactly who is talking. Christ is talking. He is the Amen. He's the finisher of our faith. And He was the beginning of God's creation. So we know who's speaking. And He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. But I would that you are cold or hot." Complacent. neither hot nor cold. Tolerant is neither hot nor cold. Words that are thrown around and bandied around in Christianity. Remember, we do not get to choose what God called evil. We do not get to choose what God calls good. He kept that for himself. But we do get to choose who we're going to follow. And we get to choose what commandments we want to follow. We get to choose. And I know thy works. He knows what we think. He knows what we do. He knows what we're about. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. And the scriptures tell us that God can raise up anybody to send out his message. He can choose anybody to be a witness. And the scriptures are full of those which he had chosen. And you may say, oh, look at Paul. He didn't have a choice, did he? He was knocked down. He was made blind. But Paul did have a choice. He could have ignored God's word to him and his commandments were to go. And he could have turned around and gone back to Jerusalem. Or he could have continued on his way and turned over his letters to those that would keep and follow those letters to the Word. He did not have to choose to become humble and turn around and go to the very people that he was persecuting and ask for forgiveness. And ask that God will use a man that he would have just as soon thrown into prison and persecuted to lay his hands upon his head that he might receive his sight. We all have a right to choose to accept or ignore. And I am worried. I have this great fear that Jim Yates has become so compliant in the world that he's lukewarm or mildly cold. It doesn't matter how you want to look at it. But I am riding the fence. I am not hot. I am not cold. I'm on the fence. I'm walking this line because I want to keep my hand in both sides. So as the world beats on the church, are we going to become lukewarm? Or are we going to take whatever may come and say, God says in his scriptures, this is evil. God said in his scriptures, this is acceptable, that is not acceptable. Fence riding, lukewarm. Are we prepared because of our choices to be spewed out of his mouth? I can tell you, the Lord stood in a meeting one day and spoke through a servant. And the servant walked up and did this. So God is dusting you off. You're unacceptable. I still feel that pain. I still worry about that. That we were unacceptable because we did not approach him in the proper manner. Have we become so complacent that we're not approaching God in a proper manner as a people? I know that day as a ministry we weren't. Lukewarm scares me. I don't even like lukewarm showers. I like hot showers. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Spiritually, do we feel that we are rich? Or spiritually, do you feel inferior? I hope you feel inferior. I hope that when you pray or you think about God, you think that you are wretched before Him and in need of His blessing in His hand. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou may be rich, and white garments, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with salve that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be jealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Turn with me over into 1 Corinthians. The third chapter. Verses 10 to 14. And according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wide master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builder there, and another buildeth there on. But every man that heed how he buildeth thereupon, let every man take heed how he buildeth on. For those of us that happen to be raised in the gospel of Christ, we were given a decent foundation by our parents and those around us. Those that came into the church and were baptized later on heard the word, and they heard and they had that firm foundation being built. Christ laid the foundation for us. He put it there. He built it. And anybody that built anything or just knows that if you don't have a good foundation, your house cracks and falls apart. If you want a visual of this, come to my house and look at my house, because I had a water leak under my foundation that leaked for years from the day that the house was built. So it's 15, 16 years later that I found it, only because the water started running out the front driveway. It'd been running under my foundation. So my house is settling. And right down the middle of my house, I have a big crack in the floor and a crack in the ceiling. Foundation that man had built. God's foundation is sure, and it's going to be steady. But it's up to each and every one of us what we put on top of that foundation. And when I read this at 2 o'clock this morning, I thought, the three little pigs. Maybe I was tired. I don't know. But what do you put on Christ's foundation? That is put there by your choices. What I put on top of my foundation and my type of house is put on by my choices. Is it good stuff that will withstand the judgment and the fire of Christ's judgment? Or is it hay and stubble that's going to burn away? Is it something there that when the wind blows, it's going to blow it away? As life trials come and batter against my house, my foundation is good. But I can't just stop at that foundation. I have to build my spiritual house according to God's will so it will withstand whatever comes my way. I was over at Andy's yesterday doing some stuff with him. In his, I don't know if it was news or if it was his screensaver, there are several big, tall buildings of some city in Dubai. Some of them are straight and standard buildings like we would see. And there's one building that is different. And it just happens, I read an article about that building. It's twisted. According to the people that built it, it will withstand the high winds better than the standard building because it doesn't have a flat surface necessary to hit on at any one place. It's built better. God will help us build our house better to withstand anything. So let every man take heed how he buildeth. For another foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We can't lay any other foundation. Christ has already laid it. If we try to change the master builder's foundation, we weakened it. If we try to lay our own foundation, it won't be as strong as that of the master builder. Verse 13, and every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which is hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. We're going to receive the reward of how well our house is built. And the Lord used several different things throughout the scriptures. He used the sower, the reaper. If you sow good seed, you will reap good fruit. If you sow bad seed, you'll reap less fruit, worse fruit. If you build a good house on a good foundation, you will have a good house on a good foundation. He used several different terminologies to help get the point across. That he was the light in the way and the truth. Stay in Corinthians and turn over to the 11th chapter. Verses 31 and 32. For if we would judge yourselves, we should not be judged. If you judge yourself, you will not be judged by those around you. Your actions will not have to be judged. If you judge yourself and choose accordingly. But God will judge at the end. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with this world. And this world is going to be condemned. We can look at the world around us and see where things have changed, starting out very subtly, now at a quicker pace. Where what was good is now considered evil. That if you try to keep God's commandments, you're judgmental. If you try to do what the scriptures tell us that God requires of us, you're unaccepting. We're going to have to choose to either to succumb to what the world wants us, or to keep God's commandments. Second Timothy. Starting at the third chapter, the first verse. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And it goes on and says what those are going to be. But I want to drop down to verse 16. And talk about the good things. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profited for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect through thoroughly finished unto all good works. We can read what the world is offering us in Timothy and Galatians and in Romans. All scripture is good. And it's there for us to profit and to do good. And I read this because I want to go over into Luke. And I don't know why. This seems to jump out at me. Why I thought of this scripture, or why I stumbled onto this scripture. Luke, the 24th chapter, starting at starting at the 13th verse. And this is right after the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord. And he had the story going where Peter ran to the sepulcher. And then in verse 13, we read this about two of the followers of Christ on the road to Emmaus, if I'm pronouncing it right. Behold, two of them went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. A furlong is about 220 yards. So they're walking about 3.5 miles. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So they had two brothers walking and talking and discussing all the things that have happened in the last few days. The teaching of Christ, his arrest. His judgment, his crucifixion, his burial. And maybe even his resurrection. Questioning, did he rise or was his body taken? So they were talking together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they were communing together and reasoning, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were cold that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that thou have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So they were talking and they were walking and they were going along, and the Lord came up and was with them. Now let's drop down to the 25th verse. So they went through and they told him all the things that have happened these past few days and the recent 24 hours. And then Christ said this, and he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And began at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that he sat at meat with them, and he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. But this next verse, I want you to pay close attention to what they had to say. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Heart burned. I'm chastising myself. I enjoy reading the scriptures, but my heart does not burn. Does yours? Does your heart burn and yearn to read the scriptures, to hear the word taught? Or are we lukewarm? The scriptures talk about our first love often and where it should be. But this is something so basic. Have we lost something? Is this something we should repent of and pray for? I think so. That we will hunger, we will thirst, we desire to have that fruit of the Scriptures. It will burn in our hearts. Every word. Romans. The 15th chapter. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's why they're so important to us. That we might have hope of a future. That we will have a strong foundation that Christ built within our hearts. We are asked to come with a contrite heart and broken spirit. But if all we have is a cutie, that's what we offer to God. This was somebody's Sunday school offering. A widow's mite. But we have a right to choose. How are you going to serve God? I have more scriptures. I have more thoughts. But I think I am going to talk about one more thing, and that we can read in 1 Kings, and then I will close. First Kings chapter 19, we read of Elijah. And the reason why I feel that this is important, because we are going to find in our struggles and our battles that there are going to be times that we have stood and we've done all that we could to stand, and we're going to feel weary. That we're not the first to do this, and we won't be the last. So I would like to tell you the story of Elijah in 1 Kings. We're going to pick up the story after he had called and prayed to God, and fire came down and licked up his sacrifice. And that all of Israel saw and heard of what God did that day. And we pick up in the 19th chapter. And I've read several commentaries, and I read them and I shake my head. I don't understand where they're trying to come from and trying to justify Ahab and Jezebel's stance in what was done. I think it was an open defiance. Because they knew, like everyone else knew, that God had moved upon the house of Israel, and he showed a mighty sign to them, but that the next day they were already weakening and forgetting. And we pick up the story, and it goes, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withheld how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. All the prophets of Baal were killed by commandment of God. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more if I make not thy life as one of those by tomorrow, by this time," saying that by tomorrow, this time, I'm going to send my men to kill you, Elijah. And when he had saw that message, he arose and went for his life and came into Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, God. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." His moment of weakness. He just did a mighty thing. But in his moment of weakness, he feared the hand of Jezebel. And he laid and slept under the juniper tree. But behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." If we are standing on God's promises and we are doing those things which God has promised unto us, and we're keeping his commandments, and we're striving to build on his strong foundation correctly, we can become tired. But we have him to rely on to be fed and strengthened by coming in here, his word taught, by reading the scriptures, meeting him in prayer. And he will see to our needs. I pray that this message was beneficial. I pray that as individuals and as a church, we'll be very watchful that we are not lukewarm, and that we will strive to keep God's commandments. Thank you for your time.